considering that we have established a first parsing scheme that is able to recognize input that that belongs to at least part of the context-free grammars, we might wonder whether it actually makes really sense to pursue this chapter anymore, or whether we can already be glad to have one parser generator concept there. And, well, you can have a few thoughts about whether the group that you are looking at with LLK grammars is actually a large one or not, whether it's already expressible enough or not. And usually there pops up the topic of so-called left recursion. Left recursion is a concept that is usually found when you're talking about the grammars that are not in LLK. And there are actually a lot of them that are not LLK grammars. And the reason is because of a particular structure in their productions, they are inherently unsuited for LLK parsing. And one of the patterns, not all of them, but one of the patterns that is responsible for grammars not being LLK is, for example, if your grammar is left recursive. Now, what does left recursive grammar mean? Well, usually in a left recursive grammar, you can find a sequence of derivations such that, emanating from a particular non-terminal, you reach a syntax form whose prefix again has the same non-terminal. Yeah? So, an usual example for that is already like our basic grammar that we use for everything, as an example, like the arithmetic expressions. So, they already have this property by just going one derivation step. Here, for example, they even have it several times. Like if you expand T, you will get to a syntax form that again starts with T, and yeah, thus you have two sources for left recursion. Now, why is left recursion actually really bad? Well, if you look at left recursive grammar, you can think about what parsing concept you could use for that. And for that, we have this L1, LL2, LLK testing as a concept. We have done that already in the past for some examples. Now, it turns out that this theorem says that there you won't be able to find any constant k such that the left recursive grammar is LLK. Yeah. Okay, this is pretty depressing, but is that really true? Well, give a look at the proof for that. So for that, we will just say that without loss of generality, we will look at production that is directly left recursive. You would have to adapt the proof a little bit to go over to multi-derivation, several derivation steps that turn out to be less left recursive. But for now, let's just assume that it's one single step and that this A is actually really reachable from the start. Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't make a lot of sense to talk about that. So, our assumption that we want to start with is that G actually is LLK, and we try to find a contradiction for that. So we assume that G is LLK. If that is the case, this implies one property in particular. So this is the property that you see down there. So in LLK grammars, with looking at k many or k long prefix of the yield of a particular part of the syntax tree, you can you have to be able to disambiguate between which sequence of derivations you did. And the one that we want to focus at is the one that says alpha, beta to the n, and gamma, for some gamma that I'm not so interested in right now. But the alpha is like the alpha from the productions, from the second variant for the alpha production, and the beta stems from the first variant of the A production. Yeah? And what we are comparing is like this sentence form with this sentence form. So you might wonder what the relevance of that thing actually is. So this is how how we come to see this thing. So we are focusing at an occurrence of A, since this is like our left recursive non-terminal in this grammar. And if we look at something like this alpha beta to the n gamma, or alpha beta to the n plus 1 gamma, we usually have a situation where we have n times expanded with A, thus each of the time created a beta as a suffix of our sentence form, and have finally still not done any progress, still having an alpha at the as the prefix of our sentence form. And then there's some gamma over here, which is this gamma, which we don't really care about, since this is like the right context of where the first occurrence of A has been, and we don't really know much about that, other than we want this to be the same in both of these things, since, yeah, those two forms from over there stem from the decision of how to expand A. Yeah? Whether to do either the second alternative, producing A, A alpha, or the first alternative, producing A beta again, and only then producing alpha. So this is how these two sentence forms are created. Yeah. So now that we know that, we might wonder how these two sentence forms are so relevant here. So in order to disambiguate how to decide here whether to go with alternative 1 or alternative 2, we need to be able to distinguish both results by just looking at the first k terminals from the input. So the first k terminals here would be some prefix of length k from this remaining input. Yeah. And we would have to disambiguate either this one by looking at the first k symbols from this one by looking at the first k symbols. Yeah? Okay. And in order to to for the grammar to be LL for some k, we need this condition to be like, well, if you intersect those two prefixes of length n, then you need them to be disjunct. Yeah? Okay, so now, how can we then proceed in our argumentation? Well, with alpha, we can do much. This will usually be the same for both of these alternatives. But alpha usually is of constant length, since it's directly given as one of the alternatives right-hand sides. So this one won't bring us any further. Beta is also the same in both, but we have a difference between those two variants in the number of repetitions of this beta, and then continue with a constant anymore. So this constant gamma will also not bring us any further, so let's focus on this beta. What could be happening with beta? So, well, can disambiguate. For example, if beta would be like the empty string, what would happen there? Well, in that case, this whole part here would just not be there, and so we would just focus on this alpha and gamma. But this thing would also disappear for our other alternative. So in both of these cases, if beta is epsilon, both of these terms would disappear, which would mean we would have to look at the first k symbols of alpha gamma and alpha gamma, and well, this is never going to be disjunct for any k there. So beta, for beta, we can definitely say that this must be of length at least one. Yeah. Okay. So, if we know that now, we can just say, well, we assume that G is of property L K, which means that a fixed K sized input preview is there, that we or a prefix length of the input is there that we can use for disambiguating these things. So we have to look at k prefixes of alpha beta to the n and alpha beta to the n plus 1 with gamma, of course. So now, if we want to contradict this assumption, we can just maliciously choose an input that is as bad as possible for the original assumption. And since this assumption is that we can disambiguate that with a prefix window of k, k might be of some relevance here. So what could we do? We could, for example, just pump the length of this beta part by just saying that we focus on the example of beta of n being, for example, directly k, and then have a look at what that does to the LK property. And well, the first case, well, is the one that we already had. This is contradictory. Now the second one was that we would fix this n now with k. So we get first k of alpha w to the k for some w, we don't know which, gamma, intersected with first k of alpha w k plus 1 with some gamma that we don't care. And here we see, well, if w is at least 1, all we get in there is like some intersection that is determined by alpha w to the k, alpha w to the k for each maximally, if not even a smaller amount of repetitions of W here. And, well, if we are based on these, they are actually the same for both of these variants. So here we get another contradiction. So with that, we know our initial assumption here is wrong. G can never be of little k. So with that, we have established that if you look at left recursive grammars, you won't be able to find any fixed constant k such that we can parse this input for that grammar with an LLK parser.